Here we go.
At our church, Jesus is Lord. That single belief calls us together as a community and sends us into our world with hope and purpose. At our church, your past will never define your future. There's always redemption, which means there's always a brighter day. At our church, we don't think we're better than any other church out there. We're just doing our best to become our best. At our church, we want you to believe in God, but we also want you to know that God believes in you. We are not against people who don't attend church anywhere. Instead, we pursue them with love, the very same love that's pursuing us. At our church, we're learning to serve God with all our hearts, and we're learning to worship Him with all our lives. And if you're looking for the perfect church, we're not it. At our church, we will make mistakes, but we will choose to grow from them. At our church, we're part of a global community that's knit together by the resurrection of Jesus. And by the way, at our church, we believe that really happened too. At our church, we will engage with people who are in real need because we are the hands and the feet of Christ. And finally, we need you to hear this loud and clear. At our church, it's not really our church at all. It's His. And we live and move and breathe in His church for His glory and His fame, not ours. So here's the invitation. You're invited to jump in with your whole heart at your own pace and to experience the life that awaits you in Christ. Friends, this is going to be good. Welcome to our church.
Welcome to Crystal Beach Community Church, where you'll find real people with real problems serving a real God. Well, I'd like to welcome everybody this morning. Made it out through the fog. If this is the first time you've been to Crystal Beach Community Church and you somehow snuck in and didn't see our wonderful greeters, Dave and his wife Joyce, please see them right after service. They'd like to spend a couple of minutes with you and share with you what's going on here. And then they have a couple of gift bags to give to you. So please see them if you didn't see them this morning early. Also, if this is the first time you've been to Crystal Beach Community Church, you'll notice we do not pass out an offering plate, but if God puts it on your heart to give, there's a white box in the back. You can drop it in there. And while you're there, if you wouldn't mind, put your name, address down so we can keep up with you here at Crystal Beach Community Church. Also, we have a prayer ministry. If you have a prayer need for yourself, a family member, neighbor, stranger, put that down also in the box. Put their name, and it'll go on a monthly email distribution list and stay there until they get healed. Any praise reports? Thank you. Any other praise reports? Yes. Okay.
Just
Okay. Well, there's a lot going on at the church, and you probably read the announcements while you were in the back, and they will continue. Have any questions, come see me after service. So if everybody would please rise, and we'll join. Oh, hang on.
Well, thank you for rising, but I do have some extremely sad news today. I have an echo in this. Very sad. Could you put the slide up, please? Our beautiful, beautiful, well-loved faith warrior took her last breath here and her first breath into heaven at 4 a.m. this morning. I'm sorry to tell you, as a church, this way, Michael said it would be the best way. Let's give him a little time. And if there's a service, we'll let you know. If you know Michael, he's devastated and lost without her. So are many of you. I'm very sorry. We will miss her greatly. She danced. She sung. She did it all. We'll miss her.
Change songs this morning. Tana, Christy, and Michael.
Thank you. you had been on the road that day, and Jesus came walking your way, what do you think you would say? Or would you just look the other way? It would be hard to watch Jesus walk by. Just thinking about it makes me want to cry. But he knew it was what he had to do. He carried that cross for me and you. On his head they placed a crown of thorns and mocked him with a scarlet robe to be worn. Then they led him out to be crucified. He was the world's supreme sacrifice. They nailed him to a cross on high for everyone to see as they walk by. Such a sad and painful way to die, but he did it for you and I. There was silence all around as they took our Savior down. You could hear Mary crying loud as they laid him on the ground. Everyone gathered round that day, but no one knew what to say. They just looked at him and prayed, Jesus, please don't go away. They went to the tomb on the third day. Closer they got, they could tell right away that the stone was not in place. It had been rolled away. They went inside to look around, but Jesus was nowhere to be found. And with a gleam in their eyes, said he's alive. Well, he's alive. The story ends. He's not through, he's coming again. And I'll just tell you this, my friend, that Jesus is alive.
chains are gone.
Change my heart, oh God. May I be like you. Change my heart, oh God. Make it ever true. Change my heart.
Like you,
I wanna be like you.
May I
Oh, is she flagging? Oh, is she flagging? All right, I think my microphone went off to repair in the heavenly host of sound booths. Let's just stay in prayer. Father God, I just adore you. Some things are just not able to understand. But I understand you. I understand how you work. I understand your goodness, your sovereignty. I totally understand your plan. And I know that you have a purpose. Prayer warriors, I know that it's a sad day, but I really think you need to come up and we'll have prayer today. So come on up. We need y'all to come up. Thank you. It's not a time for talking, it's prayer time. It's not a time for getting out your phone. It's a time to be in prayer. Because it takes a lot of boldness to come up in front of everybody and say, I need help with something. I need help. I need to pray with someone. So, Lord, I thank you. I thank you, Lord. God, I thank you for the people that you put in my life, the joys I get and the sadness I have. Be glorified, God. We lift up our peninsula to you. God, it's still our heart's desire that every person on this little 26 miles will be saved. It's possible to do that. We pray for every neighborhood who's struggling with such problems, God. We pray that everyone has food. They have heat, God. And Holy Spirit, I ask that you reveal it to us if they don't. We love them. Lift up every pastor. I get it. Every church, God. We praise your name. We praise your holy name. Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord. You're still so good. If you're visiting, it's not the sound booth's fault. This side of my face is wet with tears, so they probably can't figure that. It's just a mess up here with me. It's a mess. Y'all do a great job. I'm the mess. Protect our church, Lord. God, when we lose one, it's just like a piece of our heart just goes with it. God, but you're good. You're so good, and you're still good. You always will be good. Thank you that you prepare a place for us. I thank you you give us a hope and a future with you. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Okay, if you're visiting, you're just going to have to give me one more shot next week. I don't normally beg for you to come here, but I mean, don't count this as a, like, I'm usually a wreck because, and don't judge. Because I wrote this sermon like Thursday, and I haven't even looked at it, had time to look at it until like right now. So Holy Spirit, just lead us and guide us, and we thank you. Why do we even need a Savior? That's what I want to know. I mean, that sounds kind of negative, doesn't it? But when I heard those words on Tuesday, I said, well, I know God speaks to my mind. I mean, Satan speaks to my mind and God speaks to my heart. So I said, say it again. Say it again, Lord. Why do we need a Savior? I hear. The next day, why do I need a Savior? And on Thursday night, when I sat down and typed the words, I asked myself, okay, I'm going to Write those words down. Why do I need a Savior? And then it became a different way of sounding at that point. It's kind of like, why do I need a Savior? Well, I'm going to tell you why you need one. As I remember Jesus' birth with my purple, I lit my Advent candle. I don't know if y'all do that, but I was praying in our office and lit my purple Advent candle and say, okay, God. Little did I know that I was going to need him for every breath the next couple of days. I lit that candle and I said, let's do this. Let's write this. I reflected, why did he come? Like, why did he have to come as a little baby? And explain all of that to me. Show me in the Word. I want to dig deep. Why do we truly need a Savior? And why did it come as a baby? Now, as we enter into December, we're all thinking about mangers and nativities. In fact, this weekend is a big weekend here at Crystal Beach Community Church because it's our live nativity scene right under the awning. Tell everybody you know we're going to blast Facebook with it this week, where they'll just drive through and we have live, I won't say live people, but live people and with people driving through and in costume. It's kind of a cool deal. But why do we even need that? So let's get started. Even so, Mary understood that the child she held was set apart from any other thing that had ever, any other person that had ever been born. She knew that this was going to be a different type of baby. Why? Well, she was a virgin for one thing. She knew what the angel had told her and what her heart confirmed. She knew she was holding, after she gave birth, the very Son of God. That new little young mother is holding the very Son of God. Those were the very words that the angel had given. Son of God. He'd be the Son of God. So yet the question was why. Also, we can imagine Joseph standing proudly at his wife's shoulder. He would be keeping watch, standing guards, as fathers do. The information supplied to the engaged couple was pretty limited, for sure. Read it. In fact, do you know that if you start reading Luke now, you'll be done right in time if you read by Christmas time. Read the book of Luke. Changes everything. Exactly what was the Lord doing in this small town on this quiet night in this obscure place? And the words of angels are not likely to be forgotten. It's just like if you've gotten a word from the Lord, you stand on it and you keep standing on it and you don't forget it. Well, if an angel speaks, back then they were memorized and cherished and inscribed upon the hearts and shared only with the most intimate friends. So I'm sure Mary and Joseph each had their visit from an angel and each held a piece of the puzzle. Read the story. Now, this is interesting because Mary had been told who the baby was. Son of God, I already told you that. While Joseph had been told what he would do. Mary knew what his name was and what his purpose is, but Joseph heard from an angel and had been told what he would do. And the child increased in wisdom. The word says, and grew, and there's no doubt that his parents shared these angels' words all the time. Well, I can imagine them at the temple like, oh my gosh, we've lost the kid. We've lost the kid. Yeah, and he was the Son of God, and now we've misplaced him and walked off and left him in the temple. You are the Son of God. Those words rang and rang in that mother's heart, and you'll save your people from their sins. So let's keep digging deeper on this. Hang on with this. This is a little deeper sermon, and I want you to get what I'm trying to say. I might not do the best job today, but study on your own. I have something to say. Ephesians 2, 1 through 10. Let me read it. As for you, listen close, you were dead in your transgressions and sins, in which you used to live when you followed the ways of the world and the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. All of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our flesh and following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were nature deserving of wrath. But because his great love for us, we can continue reading in Ephesians.
but because his great love for us, God, who is rich and in mercy, made us alive with Christ even when we were dead in our transgressions. It's by grace you have been saved. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages you might show incomparable riches of the grace expressed in his kindness of Jesus. If you keep reading, it says, therefore remember, I love those therefores, you know. That's there for a reason. We had dinner this week with Dennis Powell, our mentors, and I said, well, I still say therefore, and somebody was yell, there for a reason. So I can, if he's listening on the podcast today, that's our sweet Cheryl who knows the word. Therefore, remember what? Verse 12, remember that once we were cut off from Christ without any citizens' rights to heaven, no promises, we had nothing, we had no hope, we had no part of God, or no part in God either. We're commanded, remember this, bring it to mind again and again. The second reason we need a Savior, I've got tons of reasons why we need a Savior. I mean, why didn't he just come as God? Or why didn't he come as a big guy? But we need a Savior is that without a Savior, we're all dead to our transgressions and our sins. We would have no hope at all. My hot mess today would be really strange if I had no hope, if I'd had no hope at all. And I knew today was just, I'd never see anybody again. You're being dead in your trespasses and sins. Verse 5 says, even when we were dead in our trespasses, if you were to ask most people why sin is a problem and why we even need a Savior from it, they'll say that sin makes us guilty before God and brings us under condemnation. So we need a Savior who can forgive our sins and take away our punishment. Well, that's right. But it's not the point at all, because that's not all we need. The reason we need a Savior is not just that we are in the doghouse and mess up and we just need someone to save us all the time when we have these messes, or we just need to be forgiven time and time again. We need a Savior because we have no hope, not even a whimper of hope. You might say, I'm sorry and all of that stuff, but you are speaking to the King of the universe. We have hope because we have a Savior. The reason he came was that. Now, let's look at the context first. In verse 3, at the end it says, we were by nature children of wrath, like the rest of mankind. In other words, the things we have done to bring wrath of God upon us, we've done by nature. We were just kind of born that way. It's just in our nature. We have a sin nature. Okay? I'm just laying it out. Maybe not you. Maybe you came here all perfect, and that's good. You go... boy. We need a Savior not because that we have sinned, but because we've sinned by nature. We are nature sinners. We're no living spiritual nature to incline us to do anything for the glory of God. We're lacking. Spiritually speaking, I was dead without a Savior. No hope. No hope. And therefore, I needed a Savior, not only to forgive my sins, but give me a life. And a life with him. He came to do that for us. He was born as a baby to do that for us. And we take that's no big deal. Oh, I'm sorry, God. Sin again. Oh, hey, sorry. That's why he came, really. Is it really? Like, forgive us and forgive us and forgive us and forgive us. We don't have to do anything. We just say forgive us and it's all cleaned up. The condition we were in before we had a Savior was so bad that we needed someone not only to forgive us, but also create us and recreate us. It took the birth of a baby, our Savior, to give us a whole new spiritual life. I mean, this was so well planned and thought out that 400 years prior, Isaiah's talking about it, Daniel's talking about it, Isaiah's wife was a prophet, she's probably talking about it, all the prophets are talking about it. 400 years before it even happened, they talked about it, that this Lord that they're talking about was born in a manger. And why did he come? But some people will say this can't be, because I know many unbelievers who do good things. There's unbelievers that do good things, so why do they even need a Savior? And they're good people, and we can say that. You don't just have a view of God. When we judge what's sin and what's righteousness, that's God does that for you. There's good people that do good things that will not go to heaven because they have not been forgiven and asked Jesus in their heart. Jesus came for those, for you. He's the one born as a baby that when you were a mess, he whispered, "It's time. It's time. Let's hang out. Let's do this. I need you in the kingdom. For whatsoever is not from faith is sin. And falling short of the glory of God is sin. And therefore presuming to do good to men without pointing them to God is sin. And that any of us can do without a Savior, if you think you can, it's sin. For by nature we are spiritually dead. And until we are made alive by our Savior, nothing we can do is spiritual. Everything comes from the flesh. There's nothing, unless you've been born again, there's nothing you can do on your own to go to heaven. Being good won't work. Serving others won't work. Showing up for all the committee meetings won't work. Being nice to your bride won't work. You have to be born again. You have to know that there was really a Savior born. Without a Savior, we're ruled by sin. Romans 6, 17 and 18. But thanks be to God that you were once slaves to sin, and you became obedient from the heart to the standard of teaching to which you were committed. And having been set free from sin, having been slaves of righteousness, until the Savior set us free, the Bible calls us slaves to sin. We're locked up in it. We can't get out of it. We're chained by it. We must have to live that way. Oh no, it's time. Because Jesus was born as a baby so he could change all of that. You actually have to do something. Revelation said, "Let him who is thirsty come. Whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely." And just as if we need more reasons, the reason we need a Savior is to show us the nature of God. The reason we need a Savior is to be a model of how to act and how to speak and how to be and how to help and be a model of the nature of God and the goodness of God. And the nature of man. First, the Bible says God has a plan and human beings are critical to that plan. Second, God is holy. He can't even abide in sin. If you have sin, he can't even hang out with you. But he'll whisper, "Please, I got a fix for that." He was born in a manger. We need a Savior because we need to be made holy. Because God is holy, and where God lives is holy, and heaven is holy. And unless you are living, if you're living in sin, you can't get into heaven. It's not accepted because it's holy. It's like you trying to let somebody with big old flip-flops in your house full of sand, you, "Oh no, I just swept in here. Don't come in here." God is holy. Where he lives is holy. And you're not going to get there. You're not going to go in unless you're holy. He makes us completely new creatures. God had this plan, and it's a perfect plan. The plan of God started with a baby, a little tiny human baby who cried and who was hungry. But he was God himself. We need a Savior because God plans for us to bring him glory, Isaiah 43:7, and enjoy his fellowship forever. He desires to conform us into the image of God. God has a lot of reasons why he sent his son as a baby. And all those reasons are written in the word, and they're all for you. God's plan was to have a relationship with us. A relationship with us. So he decided to come as a human who talks. And after he died, he decided to send Holy Spirit, who talks, who guides, If you do not have that in your heart, I would have to question if you truly know why God sent a baby at all. The fact is that God sent a Savior, His only begotten Son, so He could fit us for eternity and showcase His glory. That's why He did all that. It's not just so we can dress up in costumes next week and show everybody how wonderful this church is and we're growing and we have not only a Friday night but a Saturday night and dadgum we had enough volunteers maybe to have two Jesuses. I don't know. It's not about all that. It is about changing yourself from the inside out. The holiness of God is written 900 times. There's 900 references about the holiness of God. It's important to His creation, and it can't be overstated. The Bible teaches us that we should pursue holiness, true holiness. We're not going to get to heaven if we're not holy. That's weird, isn't it? To get saved changes you. You have to do stuff. And the more you get turned, not into a Bible scholar, but mature in your walk with God, you pursue holiness. You want it for you and the people around you, but not only them, but you pursue God. You just can't just surf through this. You pursue holiness. You want to be righteous. Jesus taught that we should approach God with an understanding that He is holy and we're to be like Him. We need a Savior because God is holy and His eyes are too pure to look on evil, and He cannot tolerate wrongdoing by us at all. That's not who He is. Without a Savior, God's word to us would only be like, "Get away from me, you evil people." In Romans 10 through 18, Paul brings the passages of Psalms and Isaiah into a discussion of the law. He uses so many scriptures about that. "There is not one righteous," he said, "not even one." God says in no uncertain terms that everyone's a sinner, even the ones who don't think they are. What this means is that means everyone needs a Savior. Every single one needs a Savior. I'm preaching a little harsh today. It sounds to me a little, no offense to the Baptist or whomever you are, but we don't do religion here. So I guess I'm free to talk about it. Where I'm pounding salvation in you and you have to get saved over and over. You get saved once and then you ask for forgiveness later. And then you change your ways later. And then Holy Spirit begins to correct you. And you're striving and pursuing holiness, which is not from 10 to 11:30 or 10:30 to 11:30 on Sunday. You pursue holiness. Does that even make sense to you? You have to read your word. Sign up for reading your Bible. Do whatever you need to do and pursue holiness. Because when you get to heaven, they're not going to say, "Your feet are a little dirty. You're not coming in." But they're saying, "You pursue holiness. Come in. I'm glad you understand that I sent a little bitty baby to you to model that to you. To teach 12 guys that turned the world upside down. You have His word. You have stories about Him. Pursue that." There was no other way to right the wrong. God had and has a plan. It's perfect. It won't change His mind about executing it. His plan involves humans, though, as we are sinners through and through. Since God is holy, and unless He somehow cleanses us, it is impossible for Him to work His eternal plan with us if we're not cleansed by Him. You're wasting your time, really. You don't like that talk, I know. Somebody's going like, "I'm not coming back there. He's a witch now." I want you to spend eternity with God. It's just that simple. Not that I'm all holy, but I know when I'm not. And I pursue his righteousness and I clean it up. There was no other way to right the wrong. God had a plan. It's perfect. God's solution was offer this little baby as a sacrifice once and for all to cleanse us of sins and reconcile us to himself. And he did that with a cross and a grown-up baby, and his name's Jesus. We need a Savior because we can't save ourselves, y'all. We can't do good enough. You can't save yourself. We needed a Savior, and God provided one for you. Isn't that amazing to you? Don't you just get that? We need a Savior because without Christ, we are described as having no hope in Ephesians and without God in the world. We need a Savior, and God provided one. Jesus saved us from this demonstration of God's love. He has such mercy. He has such grace. I'm around a lot of people that are sick. I was a hospice chaplain, been involved in all of that for a long time. I've seen a lot of changes at the end of people's life. They turn mean as a snake, some of them. A lot of those are preachers, and I'm not kidding. But about 3, I guess, this morning, I guess, Don, I don't know. Time's just, Chrissy was very sick. It was very bad. Things started changing real rapidly. And her breathing started slowing down, and she hadn't talked in a while, and we'd been talking a lot. And right when that breathing started down, I clearly heard her say, "Lord, like I see you, Lord, what will you say?" Oh no, I thought I was going to live just a bit longer and clean up some things. Or will you get so excited because you know you're holy, you know you're pure, you understand that that Savior was more than enough for you? Are you going to back off and go, "Whoa, I needed just a bit more time"? So let me tell you, this sermon's so important. You must know why he came. And you must understand why he came as a baby. We find that Jesus himself was constantly answering this question. I mean, he for 3 years walked around. And don't you know he was asked many times, like, "Who are you and why did you come? What are you supposed to be doing?" Especially the Pharisees and different people going, like, "Who are you? Why have you come?" On 13 occasions in the short gospel records, he uses the phrase, "I have come." And he tells why. 13 times, it's very clearly a why he have come. Matthew 9:13. "I have come to call sinners." Read it for yourself. But go and learn what that means. "I desire mercy, not sacrifice. For I've not come to call the righteous, but the sinners." Don't you love that? And if that isn't good enough, he said, well, let me put it another way in John. Let's look at John 5:43. "I have come." Why did he come? "In my Father's name. And you do not accept me, but if someone else comes in his own name, you'll accept him." John 6:38. "For I've come from heaven to do my will, but do the will of him who sent me." I'm here to do my Father's work. That's why I'm here. "I've come from heaven." John 7:29. "But I know him because I am from him and he has sent me." John 12:46, and that'll be the last one. "I have come." How? You read it. That's why he comes. You trying to figure this out of why he came in the first place? As a baby, he came. So who believes in me shall stay in darkness. But I've come into the world as light. Over and over and over, Jesus is explaining to people why he came. To seek, Luke 19:10, and save those that are lost. He came as a baby because he wants you so badly to pursue him, to fall in love with him. Holiness. He wants to spend all of eternity with you. You know people there. You know people that live there. He came for you. He wants it desperately. He sent an angel to tell Mary how it's going to kind of go down. He sent an angel to talk to Joseph how this is going to go down. And we're going to have this, and we're going to move here, and they're going to be full, and we're going to find a little place outside, and all of that. He spoke to the wise man. He said, why don't you head that way, follow that star? I mean, it's going to take you about 2 years to get there, but you better start walking now. Now more than ever before, the world lies in its own rubble, its own self-inflicted darkness and pain. The greatest enemy of all is the irresistible force from who? We want to say Satan, because it's real cool to blame everything on him. But this force comes sometimes within us and the choices that we make. If we like to blame people most of the time, we're all too aware of what the times we're living in. It has a grip on us. We know that its only work is that of destruction. And yet we enslave ourselves to it every day. There's a little something on your phone that might be interested. It shows how much you're on your phone. In your spare time, why don't you take a look at that? Get off your phone. Open your word. Pursue holiness. Pursue God. Pursue life with him. Pursue your eternity and how it's going to go down. Then a light shines in the darkness, and a beacon slashes through all despair. His name's Jesus. He stands among us and says, I have come here to find you and restore you. You think you're good? I don't do good. I do saved. I do changed. I do repentance. Father God, I'm sure I didn't say every word correct, and half of you are asleep. I don't care. I'm going after one today. I don't care. Holy Spirit will reveal that when it's time, because your word is alive. All I have to do is lay it out there, and you do the rest, God. A lot of people look at themselves and make sure they're holy. Make sure they're without sin. And when they trip up, that they're quick to go into repentance. We don't have to get resaved and resaved and resaved. God, I adore you. I pray that every single person examines themselves and makes sure if they're doing all these good works and giving and doing, God, reveal to them, that's not it. That's not it. They must first have a relationship with you. And then everything else will be designed by you, by your purpose. That they seek you before they jump into anything. What do you want me to do? I don't need any busy work. What do you want me to do? God, we thank you. You sent Jesus. As we enter into some holiday time, Don't let it just be some little thing we pull out a box and stick it on a shelf somewhere, God. Let us know what that really means. That you sent that baby to seek us out and find us, pursue us, show us. So we'll hear that well done for sure. Amen, amen. Go ahead.
The world waits for a miracle. The heart longs for a little bit of hope. Oh, come. Oh, come, Emmanuel. The child prays for peace on earth, and she's calling out from a sea of hurt. Oh, come. Oh, come, Emmanuel.
Romans 8. If you have your Bible, you can turn to it. If you don't, buy one. If you can't, we'll give you one. Therefore, It's there for a reason. There is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. None at all. Because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit who gives life has set you free from the law of sin and death. For what the law was powerless to do because it was weakened by the flesh, God did for you. How did he do it? By sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh to be a sin offering. I could read all of Romans 8. The word says, if you're in here and you don't have a clue how to get saved, it's very simple. He doesn't make it hard. He just says, confess with your mouth. I'm a sinner, Lord. I've been playing church. I've been doing all this good stuff, keeping a tally of my own stuff. I've been just doing stuff. I am all that in a bag of chips, God. It says, repent with your mouth. God, I need you. I need my instructions to come from you. I need to communicate with you. I want to talk to you. I want you to talk back to me, God. Lord, I want to be still and know. I want to listen. He said, confess with your mouth all the things that are out of sorts. And then, like only Jesus can do, all you got to do is believe in your heart. I believe you're really there. I believe that I'm going to spend eternity with you. I believe you died for me. I believe you were sent as a little baby to pursue me. And then scripture says what? If you confess with your mouth and you believe in your heart, what does it say? I'm sorry. And you'll be saved. That doesn't sound like a bad recipe there that I couldn't follow. That's just truth. Confess with your mouth, believe in your heart, and you'll be saved. Stop playing church. We don't have time for that. Nobody's ain't got time for that. Change. Do something different. Tell people how you changed. Father God, I thank you. I thank you for pursuing me. For loving me so much that you want me to spend eternity. It's like a place that never has an end. Once I get there, I'm in. But God, I don't want to just slide in. I want to walk in and say, where's Jesus? I'm here. Not because anything I've done. It's because of that baby. And it's about that cross. God, change our hearts. Filter our minds. Holy Spirit, if something's not good that people are watching or doing, speak loudly. Help us to be still and know. Help us to hunger and thirst for your righteousness. God, I can't wait to see your face. I mean, I wish it were today, Lord. But I know you have stuff for me to do. I hunger and thirst for you. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Go home.